I don't know if we said hello to Mr. Leon and Peggy. Hello to you. I see Miss Beverly there, and I see John there, and I'm going to bring John up in the sermon, and he'll be okay with it. Both Johns, John R., and both of you are John R., John Ruble and John Rankin, correct? All right. So we're going to continue our discussion today of the decision-making process. And if you were with us last week, you know that we started from the top of the pyramid and went to the bottom. And today we're going to go from the bottom and work our way to the top. Maybe. I might get to the top. You never know. But anyway, the decision-making process is probably the Bible lesson that we're most associated with at Life in Christ Church. The reason why we're most associated with it, or the reason why it's one of the things that people haven't gotten too upset about, probably that'll change after today's Bible lesson, but probably the reason why they haven't gotten too upset is because this Bible lesson or this truth appeals to both the secular and the Christian world. And at our Wednesday night Bible study, John Ruble back there brought up the fact that I believe he was in a master's degree program, or he went through some civil service classes or something like that. John, I'm close, aren't I close about that? And anyway, this decision-making process card is basically what they teach you in the secular community. And that's what I've been saying all along when I teach this, is that anybody that sees it and hears about it doesn't argue about it, except Christians, because Christians are the ones
recording in progress
got caught in a terrible doctrine about thinking that they just simply are to live their life in a passive state and see how it all works out because God's doing things the way he wants them done. And that's just not true. It's not biblically correct, and it's not correct secularly or from a Christian perspective. And I'll show you in the scriptures and give you Bible verses that'll help you understand that. So anyway, it's the decision-making process. I do want to say that we did have a local business in town make us up some new decision-making process cards with the new radio station call sign. And if you're listening by radio or internet this morning, and if you're listening by radio, you know you're listening on 92.3 FM, and that's what the new decision-making cards say. And if you'd like to get one, we'd love for you to get one. So you can also go to lifeinchristchurch.net, communicate with us and say you want one of these cards, and we'll give you one. It's cool to have around. I see Miss Leslie there on the front row, and she told us that one of the things she does is she has this card right there at her work to kind of remind her of these truths. So, all right, here we go. Let's get into the card, and then I'll give you Bible verses and tell you why this means so much to me and why I think it's so important to keep sharing this and why we'll bring this up on a regular basis at Life in Christ Church, because it's something people need to hear about. I don't remember. I think Mr. Leon and Peggy, you guys are probably the only ones there that this is a first time you've ever going through the Bible lesson. Am I right about that? Wave at me if I'm right. Put a thumbs up or something. There you go. Thumbs up. Mr. Leon, get a thumbs up there, buddy. All right. See, now Brian made this to where I can see y'all and talk to y'all and communicate with y'all. So, Cheryl, straighten up back there a little bit. You're slouching. I'm messing with you. All right. So the decision-making process, the bottom part of the pyramid reads this way. So the bottom part of the pyramid reads this way. The quality of the information we receive is directly related to the quality of the people we associate with. So real simple, people are where we get our information from. People are where we get our information from. What we know in life, we learned it from people. Am I correct in that? Nobody out there, I don't think, got it just directly from God. The only person that got anything directly from God was in the very beginning. Adam was communicated to directly from God. Remember that? And ever since then, information's been passed down through man, because God listen to this now. I want everybody to hear this. Don't panic. Don't panic. Because God in his sovereignty, listen, God in his sovereignty decided to turn what he created over to man. That's a real good spot for y'all to say amen, amen out there. I probably, on the Zoom service, I can't hear y'all talking out in the congregation, can I? So instead of going amen today, why don't you just kind of give me a thumbs up when I say that? God in his sovereignty turned what he created over to mankind.
Amen.
I got somebody in the, here with me, my darling Teresa. And listen, I want to say this, and I know you guys have heard this and so forth and so on, but everything we teach at Life in Christ Church, everything that we propose to people is based on that central truth, because that's the reason why we say that we're in the mess we're in. We don't tell people we're in the mess we're in because that's somehow the way God wanted it to be. We don't tell people that. And the reason we don't tell people that is the foundational truth that we present to people is that God gave man control, and man, the Bible says it very clearly, and I won't put up a lot of Bible verses because I want to continue building the pyramid, but the Bible says very clearly that therefore, Romans 5:12, you can look it up later, therefore, through one man, sin entered the world. Now, unfortunately, that was a bad thing because the rest of the verse says, and death passed to all men because all men sinned. Now, one of the other things you can look at, so this is so important, and obviously it hadn't been embraced by the majority, or we'd have more success relative to what we're talking about, but I'm staying with it. Because you can't judge what you're telling people based on the response. Really, I'm going to say this too. One of the things you can do to judge whether or not you've tapped into something that's godly is how much persecution is attached to what you're saying. Because that's very important. Because if you're saying stuff that the devil knows is true, he's going to fight you. And this is a Southern expression. He's going to fight you tooth and toenail. And he's fought us tooth and toenail about telling people that God put man in control. And the reason why we're in the mess we're in is because we gave control over to the devil. And the devil is controlling the whole world. Brian's back in the back. He knows this is one of my favorite verses. 1 John 5:19, we know we are of God. Isn't that true? Do we know we are of God? And the whole world, not just some of the world, not just the United States of America, but Russia and Ukraine and Poland and England, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And it's because that God, in his sovereignty, turned what he created over to us, okay? Now, God had already arranged and already had made provision for mankind messing up. He'd already made provision for that. You'll never catch God off track. You'll never catch God where he's reacting. See, he's never going to react. He already made provision for the mistake that Adam made by sending Jesus to fix it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But guess what, folks? Guess what? That's information that people need to be told. Because not only in his sovereignty, he put man in control, and also in his sovereignty, he knew he was going to send Jesus to fix it. So I'm saying these words to you because we're not opposed to using the word sovereignty as long as you use it in the right context. And in the right context, God is sovereign. But when you say God is sovereign and you use it in the context that he's the reason why people have cancer, or he's the reason why people are broke, or he's the reason why Russia wants to invade Ukraine, or he's the reason why somebody gets murdered, or he's the reason why you married somebody that's abusing you, or your children have got off track, or you're addicted to drugs or alcohol. If you're using that to say that that's the sovereignty of God, that is incorrect. And we've spent our entire ministerial career trying to get people to understand that the reason why those things are happening is because man, through sin, does the wrong thing and makes the wrong choices. There's a good opportunity to get your hands up high in the sky.
Woo-hoo!
Amen. I'm fired up. It's amazing. I mean, I'm 25 years into this, and I'm every bit as fired up about it as I was at the very beginning, because I understand how important it is to get people the right information, because the decision-making process, the bottom part of it is that information is imparted to us from people. And so not only did sin enter the world through man, but information entered the world through man. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, now we came out of Deuteronomy, and Teresa's going to help me get over there because I'm having to do two things at once here, and boy, that's hard on me. Deuteronomy 6:6. See, God understood this about information, and he understood that man was in charge of putting out the information. But Deuteronomy 6:6, listen to this. This is when they were getting ready to go into the promised land. But notice what he tells them in Deuteronomy 6:6. Because remember, the gate or the door to everything has to come through man. See, that's the reason why. And if everybody would just stop and think about some things and meditate on some things and turn off the noise of the world and just think about some biblical truths, that's a reason why Jesus had to be a man. Because God couldn't fix it as God, because God's a spirit. Jesus had to fix it as a man, because man's who messed it up. See, therefore, through one man, sin entered the world. But listen, in that same area of scripture, it talks about the fact that through Adam, sin entered the world, but through Jesus, grace and truth and peace and mercy and love entered the world. How many of you are glad those entered the world? And you know who the carriers are of those things? You know who's carrying the grace and peace and love and mercy and healing of Almighty God? You know who is? Not only just Bryant Booker. And by the way, it appears that Bryant is the most motivated about this Bible lesson this morning. And I don't know if y'all want him to get the prize for that, but you know what? I know why he's motivated, because I know what this has done for his life. I know what this has meant to him. And I know that it's dear to him, because he recognizes that he has escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Is that not correct? Have we not escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because through man, sin entered the world, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we were able to escape the corruption that sin caused. Man, I'm telling you, that'll make you want to shout, even from Gilbert, Arizona. By the way, folks, the weather up here is phenomenal. All right. Okay. All right. Deuteronomy 6:6. So remember this, and these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. Now, listen, I know this is Old Testament, and you got to take it in the line with the New Testament, but the principle is the same. Everybody cool with that? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. What are you doing? What are you teaching them? Information. Why are we so fired up and motivated about this thing? Because we want people to get the right information, because I'm telling you, and I don't mean this arrogantly, or I don't want to pick a fight with anybody. I'm not trying to be controversial, but I'm telling you, the majority of folks that identify with Christianity have the wrong information. The sovereignty of God does not mean that God wants you to get kicked in the teeth by the devil. That is not the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that in his sovereignty, he sent Jesus Christ so that we could overcome Satan and live a godly life in Christ Jesus. and everything that's consistent with that godly life. We ought to have peace. We ought to have health. We ought to have joy. We ought to have our needs met. We ought to be able to get along with our fellow man. Are you listening? See what I'm saying? And that's what people, that's the information we need to be sharing with people. And that's what, that's why everybody needs to go through the decision-making process. And I think everything's cool, right? You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What about that? See, you know, when I first started out, this always reminds me of this. When I first started out, you know, I was a lot more fanatical than I am now. And that's regrettable. It's regrettable. Now, I needed more information and I needed more knowledge because, you know, I had some bad information. And so, you know, I wasn't always pleasant to be around. But when I first started out and I got on into the New Testament, listen to me now. When I first started out and I got into the New Testament, and I had never read the Bible before in my life, and the Holy Spirit had led me over to the epistles, and those are letters that are written to Christians. How many of you out there identify as Christians? You are Christians. Then point your finger at your chest, point your finger at your chest and say this: the epistles
are written
to me. Say it again. The epistles are written to me. So Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Let's see if we can get them remember. Philippians, Colossians. What's the next one? First and Second Thessalonians. First and Second Timothy. Titus. So those letters were written to me as the Christian. Are those information? Is that information? Is that good information? Is that trustworthy information? Amen. Is it present truth information? Is it relevant now? Does it work in the 21st century?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, what I was going to say, I get over into the Bible. I get over to the epistles. I've become a believer. I've received Jesus. And I realized from the Holy Spirit, I realized through the Holy Spirit that those letters, those epistles, Romans through Jude, I realized that those are all written to me. And you know what I do as a fanatical, born-again, spirit-filled child of God? You know what I start doing? I start making little index cards, and I start putting them on my mirror in the morning, put them on the refrigerator door. And you know what? You know what I don't put on there? Oh, woe is me. Things are only going to get worse. I don't understand why God's doing these things to me. You know, none of that stuff ever went on my refrigerator. You know what went on my refrigerator? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God loves me and demonstrated that love for me by sending Jesus to die for me when I was still a sinner. In other words, what was I doing? I was doing Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. I was getting that information in front of my eyes and in my mind and reminding myself of who I was in Christ. Are you listening? Man, there's a lot of noise in our world system, and we got a lot of things that we can look at. I am so guilty. I don't want anybody to think I'm not guilty, and I don't know where I read it, but and Anna's here with us participating in the church service, so I want her to hear this, but the average person looks at their phone 100 times a day, 100 times a day. And now with technology, and by the way, one of the people we support through Life in Christ Ministries is YouVersion of the Bible. And that's the version I keep on my phone. We got on the internet. Now through technology, if you're going to look at the thing 100 times, at least make 10 of those times look at a Bible verse. Good place for a hand to go up.
Amen.
But my point is, back when this was in the late 70s, back in the day, we didn't have any of this technology. And so what I would do is I'd write these verses on an index card and I'd put them on the refrigerator. I would put them on the mirror when you're getting ready to go out for your day. And I would, and that's exactly what he's saying here. He says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So here's the thing. Now, listen, when I got up this morning, you know, I trust in the Lord to lead me in this. I've taught the decision-making process many, many times, and I'm trusting him to help me. But when I got up this morning and began to think about it, the Lord reminded me that we're going to focus on the decision-making process relative to Christianity. It'll work in any area of your life. It'll work in the secular world. It'll work. John's back there. He's already told me that this is a Bible. This is a truth that he was taught in the different schools that he had to go through. So it'll work in that area. But remember, we're focusing on Christianity. And so I want everybody to listen. If you're listening or you're there today and your problem is sickness, then you need to get the right information relative to healing. And you need to bind that on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes and write them on the doorpost. So you need to get that somewhere where you can see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. That God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing. Everybody say healing.
Healing.
Not making you sick, but healing all who were oppressed by the devil. See, you got to find healing scriptures and get that information in your heart and in your mind. You with me? Now, what if you're suffering with depression or mental anguish or phobias? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 would be a good piece of information to put down. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You follow me? What if it's financial trouble you're into? You got to find verses that'll let you know what the information God wants you to receive about that. That my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me say this too, because I think sometimes people get the impression that this is like some magic wand that we're going to wave and all your troubles will go away if you say 1 Peter 2:24. All your troubles will go away if you say 2 Timothy 2:7. Now, it's something you need to do. You need to keep reminding yourself and telling yourself that. But in the process of reading these epistles, God may reveal to you some things that you need to do relative to your life that may be causing you to be dealing with certain things. I went through a period, and I know some people don't believe this, but I went through a period of severe depression. We had gone through our second church split. The church didn't, the things that I dreamed about happening with the church wasn't being fulfilled. And I allowed myself to get depressed. And it was a combination of things. And then in my own life, one day it dawned on me exactly how much money I have to take in just to pay the bills. And that thought actually overwhelmed me one day. Anyway, the combination of this began to get into my, and then I'd gotten into some strife with some people. None of y'all have ever done that, have you? I'd gotten into some strife with some people. So, man, I'm telling you what, I was headed down the wrong path. I was getting wrong information. I was starting to believe that wrong information. And I went through some depression and some anxiety. Really got attacked real bad when we were down vacationing in Florida. So that's why I don't want to go to Florida anymore, Leslie. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful place, but no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know what I found out? See, because I had let the word get away from me. I had focused on the wrong thing. But what I'm saying is I had to get in the Holy Bible and find out where I was missing it. And so I had to get reacclimated to the truths of God's word and renew my mind to the Bible and begin to understand and make some changes. And so what I'm saying to you, it's not just about getting the information or seeing the information. You got to act on the information. I don't want to be, I don't think Bryant wants to be, I don't think James in the back wants to be, I know Teresa doesn't. We decided we didn't want to hold ourselves out anymore being a mainstream church per se. We wanted to be a place where people could get information, and we recognized through technology that by the radio and by the internet, we didn't have to be bound up by the four walls, and we didn't have to have a drummer or a guitar picker or and nothing wrong with those things. Don't misunderstand. But we realized that what our ministry was about was getting people the information. And we were primarily called to people that aren't about church. We're not churchy. Can I get an amen? We're not churchy. We try to be ourselves. We try not to put on any kind of religious, I don't know what the word is, falsity. I mean, we try to be ourselves, and we just try to get people the information. And I want the common person to know the stuff that I know, because I know the stuff that I know rescued me from despair. But yet here I was at some point in this walk in despair. But guess what? I got out of despair, and I got out of despair by putting the right information into my heart and mind again and acting on it. And you want to know something that's true? I haven't been in strife in so long, I don't even know what it's like. I won't fight with nobody anymore, and I don't talk bad about anybody anymore, except when I'm preaching. Can I get an amen, Beverly? And I'm allowed to a little bit. Listen very carefully. I'm allowed to a little bit when I preach, as long as I do it from the right motive. I'm not doing it to make anybody mad, but sometimes you got to tell people the hard truth. So if somebody that wants to tell me that God made them sick, I'm not going to let them say that's true. Somebody that tells me that God made them depressed, I'm not going to tell them that's true. Somebody tells me that God wanted me to beat my wife, I'm not going to tell you that's true. Are you listening to me? And so sometimes you do have to kind of be a little bit, you can't be nice all the time preaching, but the motive has to be right. And the motive is, I want people to be set free by the truth. So, man, I went into a long dialogue there just to tell you that it's important for you to get the word of God in your heart and mind. And he told the Israelites to remind themselves of this truth. And you know, one of the things that if you keep reading Deuteronomy 6, and that's the reason why the Old Testament is still relative, is that it's an example for us to look at. You know, one of the reasons, you know, how many of you know we're still on the decision-making process? You may not know it, but we're on the base. How many of you think we're going to get to the top of the pyramid today? Not one chance. Not one chance, because I already know where I'm going. I already know how the Lord's leading me on this. You know, one of the reasons, are you flowing with me? Are you following with me? So let me back up and say this. So not only do you want to go to the scriptures if you're sick, if you're depressed, if you're in strife, if you're suffering financially, but once you get into those scriptures, have the courage to act on what you find out. Have the courage to act on what you find out. I had to have the courage to realize that I had let some things get into my heart and into my mind that I had to release. One of the best phrases that's ever come out of this ministry is from Brian in the back there. I had to put on my big boy britches and understand that if what I was called to do was not going to be well received, and I had to figure a way to do it to where I had to be able to turn loose of how it was being received. Does that make sense? So not only did I get the right information from the scriptures, but then I had to act on it. And we've acted on it, and I've been joyful, at peace, and motivated. I'm excited. I hear people all the time in the secular world come up to me all the time and tell me that they're listening, or they heard this, or I know that it's, and if we can change one life, we've made a difference. All right. So you know why he had the Israelites, you know why right before they're getting ready to go over to the promised land, you know why he was telling them, you need to put it in front of your eyes, write it down, remind yourself of it. Stay committed to it, because he knew they were going over and they were going to start mingling with the world. And he knew that if they didn't stay connected to him, they'd get connected to the world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:33. Very, very good verse. Jordan, I want you to see this verse back there. And I see your head sticking out there. I want you to see this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Watch this now. Watch this. This is important. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Won't everybody say that out loud? Let's do it. Do not be deceived. Now let's read this. It's so fun to have Anna up here participate with me. Hi, Anna. Let's think about this because I like to teach as we go. What portion of scripture are we reading from? What portion of scripture are we reading from? The epistles. Now, you pointed your chest, you pointed your finger at your chest earlier in the sermon. And if you're listening by internet or radio, I hope you did the same thing. You pointed your finger at your chest. Is 1 Corinthians 15:33, is it written to you?
Yes.
Is it for you?
Yes.
Is it relevant to your life?
Yes.
Is it, it did God specifically write this information for us to have? Yeah. Right? Is that the base of the diagram?
Yep.
Is this good information coming from good people?
Yep.
Is Paul the apostle good people?
Yes.
Isn't that an expression? They're good people. You ever in town, Beverly, and you run into somebody and you mention my name and they say, boy, he's good people. Probably not. But anyway, is Paul the apostle good people?
Yes.
Is this information for you?
Yes.
So when you read it and it says, do not be deceived, do you want to pay attention to what the rest of it says?
Yes.
Evil company corrupts good habits. So in other words, take it back to Deuteronomy. God knew that the Israelites were going to get among, I like to say these names. They were going to get among the Philistines, the Girgashites, the Jebusites. Anybody know any other ones?
Hittites.
The Hittites. He knew they were going to get among all them ites. And he knew that if he got around all them ites, that ites would rub off on him. So that's why he was telling him, put this stuff in your heart and mind and make index cards. Get YouVersion on your iPhone. Get YouVersion on your iPad. Get the Bible somewhere where you can see it and remind yourself. And then ask yourself. And no, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I'll read the rest. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness. And do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Man. See, you can say that when you're preaching and teaching. Paul wrote it. See, he's saying that if you don't recognize this, if you don't realize this, that this is your problem. This is where your trouble is, because God doesn't want you to hang around people that's going to pull you down. And that's the reason why I'm impressed and I appreciate so much how you've stuck in here with us and have continued to allow yourself to be taught the truth. Because it is this, the epistles are the truth. The epistles are the present truth of God's holy word. They're the revelation of the age of grace that we all live in. And when you're over there as a Christian and you're reading them, you don't have to call me on the phone and say, hey, Mark, you know, I was reading 1 Corinthians 15:33. And I just wonder, is God talking to me about that? What's the answer? Now, how many of you know that's sort of a corrective verse, right? How many of you know this? But there also are some encouraging, uplifting verses that tell you that God has raised you up and made you sit with the Lord Jesus in heavenly places. How many of you know that's good too? See where I'm going here? See what I want you to understand? See why it's so important to build the pyramid, that the reason why people make bad decisions, here we are, we're back to it. The reason why people make bad decisions is because at the very base of the diagram, the quality of the information we receive is directly related to the quality of the people we associate with. And so if you've made the correct decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and there's not a greater decision that anybody can make, there's not anything better than that decision, then the next decision you need to make is to find out where the info, what is to find out that where the information is that I can walk and live the Christian life successfully. That makes sense? And the place you're going to be able to go to find that out is the letters that God wrote specifically to you to tell you how wonderful and how great and how magnificent. In fact, the book of Ephesians says it's unsearchable, the riches that are that were given to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That through his knowledge, through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is 2 Peter, through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we become partakers of God's divine nature and we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. That should cause some arms and thumbs to go skyward. Amen. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's the base of the diagram. And so the second part of the decision-making process is the next level. Jordan, the next level. Ready? The quality of our belief system is directly related to the quality of the information we receive. And I know what I want to do with the rest of this today. I know how I want to go with this. So remember, let's understand something. What's the motivation behind this decision-making process? What's the motivation behind it? The motivation behind it is that I think from a majority standpoint, most people are not being told the present truths of the New Testament. You know, I need to turn there because I've used that phrase and I want to turn there. That's 2 Peter 1:12. Let's put that verse up. I want to read that. I think that's something that I think I've said this to you before. If I ever wrote a book, this would be the title of the book. You know what the title of my book would be? How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, somebody already has that title, don't they? You know what the title of my book would be? The Present Truth. Say that with me, everybody. The present truth. Now listen, 2 Peter 2:12. This is
2:12?
No, no. Yeah, 2 Peter 1:12. I'm sorry, 2 Peter 1:12. By the way, this seems to be how we're being led of the Holy Spirit this morning, and I'm going to follow his leading. Is this for you?
Yes.
Do you have to find out from some theologian if God wrote this to you?
No.
No. Is it specifically for the born-again Christian?
Yes.
All right, here we go. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established. Listen, this is so important. I pray everybody listening by radio and internet, I pray you understand the importance of this. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Do you know what the primary problem is with the body of Christ? And I know that people think, who am I to be able to say that? I know some people say that, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The primary problem in the body of Christ is that we're learning and teaching people old truth. Because there was a time in biblical history where God did bad things to people. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But ever since Jesus Christ appeared on the earth and manifested himself, God has not and does not do bad to people. He came to bring life and light and peace and joy and health through Jesus.
Amen.
That's the present truth. That's the information that people aren't being fed. That's the information that people aren't hearing. That's the information that people aren't writing on their index cards and putting on their cell phones and putting on their bathroom mirrors and putting on their refrigerators. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let's put on our refrigerators that the Lord is good, that his mercy is everlasting, and that his truth endures to all generations. Let's put on our refrigerators that that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Let's put on our refrigerator 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God, listen to this. Let's put this. And by the way, are these present truths?
Yes.
Are they still true today? How many people have really ever actually heard this? And that's why we're motivated. That's why you guys are here this morning. That's why you guys are behind me. You want people to hear it, and you want to hear it. I like hearing it. But listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God, listen, that God was in Christ. Man, I'm telling you, some of the things I repeat, but it's worth repeating. There are times where you may debate and challenge whether or not God's in me, but you can't debate and you can't challenge whether or not God was in Christ. He was in Christ. Not only was he in Christ, but God, Christ was God. But God was in Christ. What was he doing? What was he doing? Was he judging the world, condemning the world, making things worse? No, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. What's the rest of it say? Jordy's got it up. I can't see it. No. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and has committed to us. What's he committed to us? The word of reconciliation. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Because we want everybody out there that's listening to this, we want you to know that it's the word of reconciliation we're bringing you. The war's over between you and God. Now, you may be at war with other people. Russia may be at war with Ukraine. Republicans may be at war with Democrats. Are you listening to me? But God is not at war with anybody. He's made peace with us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until wrath comes, and I guess we need to say this. I guess some people aren't happy unless you do. Wrath is coming. How many know wrath is coming? But it's not here yet. It's still the age of reconciliation. It's the age of grace. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And see, Peter said that he would not be negligent to remind us of this present truth. Friends, I'm telling you, there's a place for us in the body of Christ. There's a place for you guys, not only through your financial support, but also understanding that we have the opportunity through technology. And how many of you know God is a part of that? This amazing technological revolution that we've gone through. I was watching something that was made in the early 2000s. I forget what it was. And even in the early 2000s, all they had was a telephone. And if they did have a cell phone, it was bigger than their head. I mean, the technological advances that have been made are phenomenal. And it would be absolutely tragic. It would be negligence. Let's use that word in 2 Peter. It would be negligence if we didn't use what we have at our disposal to put out on the airwaves the present truth about what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to shout and jump. I'm telling you, I want to shout and jump about that. And listen, you know why I've overcome despair and feeling like a failure? Because I'm telling you, if there's one single person out there, not only just the wonderful people that are there in these pews and got up this morning knowing we were going to have a Zoom service and you still came out to listen, and I so appreciate that. I mean that. And me and Teresa and Bryant and Leslie, we are not taking that for granted. But if one single person out there this morning has attached themselves to what we've shared this morning, and they begin to just get just a little bit into their heart and mind that God's not mad at them, that God loves them, that God sent Jesus to make peace with them, and that he's committed to helping and supporting them, then this is worth it.
Amen.
This is absolutely worth it. It's absolutely worth it. And I also know that God has supported what we've done because financially there's always been the money necessary and needed to do what it is we need to do. Because I'm telling you, man, as messed up as I am in on some level, God appreciates the fact that I'm willing to stand up and tell people the present truth. And I want to say something to you. I want you to hear this. Anybody that talks about the present truth, anybody that reminds people that God's for them, that God's with them, that God's in them. And by the way, that's only true for who? Christian people. That's true for you if you're in Christ. If you do that, you are going to have to endure persecution. You're going to have to. You're going to have to. I'm going to go one more place. I am. But listen, if you're listening by radio or internet, we only got to the second level of the decision-making card. But it's been led totally by the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to apologize for any of it. But take that verse in 2 Peter 1:12 and realize that what he's talking about, that the present truth he's talking about is Romans through Jude. And that's available to read on a regular basis. And that's available for you to put in your heart and in your mind and know it and meditate on it. But if you tell these things to people, you're going to stir up the devil. Can I get an amen? If you tell these things to people, you're going to stir up the devil. You're not going to stir up the devil by telling them when you go and tell people that God somehow or another is causing your misery. You're not going to stir up the devil. He likes you telling people that. He wants you to tell people that. You're not going to stir up the devil if you just tell, pat people on the hand and say, there, it'll all be over in a few days. Or you make up some religious excuse about everything happening for a reason, or God's mysterious, or you never know what God's going to do. You're not going to stir up the devil. You know when you are going to stir up the devil? When you tell him that in the person of Jesus Christ, you've been set free. And people look at you and say, well, I don't look free and I don't act free. But that's because you don't know you're free, because people haven't brought you the present truth. Man, I want to get down there with y'all so bad. Just, I'm telling you, doesn't that make sense? And I'm telling you, when you tell people about the present truth and who you are in Christ and what God's done for you, it will bring persecution. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, I think it's around verse, let's start at verse 11. Let's start at verse 11. And then I know we're about out of time, which is, again, you know what? I consider that to be a good sign. Let me say this to you, too. I think it's wonderful when I feel like I've only talked for 10 or 15 minutes and they flash 50 minutes at me, because then I know I'm flowing in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Anybody ever done any public speaking or had an opportunity to have to get in front of people? Did you know it's a great fear of people? And man, when you don't know what you want to say and you don't have anything to say, and they tell you you got to talk for 30 minutes, it seems like 2 days. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But when you got something to say, it seems like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it seems like 10 minutes. Listen to this. How many of you would agree when we talk about the epistles, we've kind of gone through them together. Paul, the apostle, wrote from Romans to Hebrews. Some people argue whether he wrote Hebrews, but just for the sake of argument, he wrote Romans to Hebrews. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Peter wrote the epistles of 1st and 2nd Peter. James, the Lord's half-brother, wrote the epistle of James. And John the apostle wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then Jude, another one of Jesus's half-brothers, wrote the epistle of Jude. These are the present truth that's in the epistles that's available for us to read that we ought to put on the index cards and on our iPhone. Got it? Were they telling people present truth?
Yes.
Were they bringing relevant New Testament information?
Yes.
Was it easy for them?
No.
Did everything go proper?
No.
Did they have to deal with persecution?
Yes.
Are we going to have to deal with persecution?
Yes.
Something's wrong if we're not. Here it is right here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 11. 2 Timothy 3, verse 11 and 12. Here we go. Paul the apostle. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra.
In Sierra Vista.
In Huachuca City. In Tombstone. In my own house. Can be. God bless you if everybody in your family is committed to Jesus and committed to this message. God bless you. That's why I don't take Teresa for granted for one moment. That's why I'm so grateful that Anna considered listening to me teach. I'm so grateful that Jordan got out of bed, and it looks like he even combed his hair. And he put gel in it, he said. And he's back there working the computer. God bless. That's wonderful. But there could be a situation where you also have to deal with persecution in your own home. You may have to deal with persecution at work. And let me tell you what I found out. I found out you'll have to deal with persecution in the church itself. Because here's the truth. Everybody has a choice to make. Everybody has a free will. And you can choose to receive what we're teaching, or you can choose not to. And people that have chosen not to have tried to do their best to make us irrelevant. But we're not irrelevant as long as we have Wi-Fi. Now, that's good, guys. Somebody out there ought to at least smile. I can't see your face real good. Peggy, are you smiling? I can't tell if you're smiling. Okay. All right. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, at Sierra Vista. What persecutions I endured. Listen to this. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know what? This was totally, listen, folks, I can't tell you, this is totally led by God. I didn't plan this for one moment, not this portion of scripture. Listen to this. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but people that are teaching the extreme sovereignty of God are imposters and they're negligent. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. How are you going to protect yourself from that? Well, you're doing the right thing right now. You're doing the smart thing right now. You're here in church listening to this truth, and you're listening to it more than once. I know you are by faith. And then the other thing you're going to protect yourself, and the way you're going to protect yourself, is by making the epistles, the present truth, that these men, Paul and Peter and John and James and Jude, gave their life for us. They gave their life for it. Are you listening to me? They gave their life for it. And that's available for you to feed on and study and listen to, because it'll rescue you from evil men and imposters who are trying to tell you the wrong thing. Well, I tell you, this is good stuff. I'm going to go ahead. Let's stand up, everybody. Stand up on your feet. Everybody, thank you. And let's say this. All right, if you've been listening by radio or internet, thank you. Thank you for listening. First of all, we want to tell you something. I don't know. I'm led of the Spirit to tell you. We're not after your money. We don't want your money. We're doing this. This is our offering to you. Everybody that's here in person and that's participating with us, and a lot of folks by radio and internet who give financially, we're doing this as a gift to you. We're bringing this to you because we want you to know this information. We want you to know that God's not mad, that he loves you. Amen. That he gave Jesus to the whole world so that he could make peace with the whole world. And the Bible says what you got to do is receive him. That's all you got to do is receive him. You got to receive him. And so just say this with your mouth, and because you believe it in your heart, say, Dear God, I've heard the preacher this morning. And I've heard about Jesus. And I want to receive him. I want to escape. The corruption. That's in the world. Through lust. So I'm going to receive Jesus. So that I will become. A partaker. Of your divine nature. I confess.
I confess.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You.
You.
Are.
Are.
Lord.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And now listen, if you've been listening by radio or internet and you're a believer and you're on your way to some church that's going to teach you the sovereignty of God wrong, I'm going to be so bold as to tell you to turn around and go home. But if you're going to head that way, do this for me. Start meditating on what I've told you. Don't get mad at me. Get in the Word of God and find out that God's not out to get you. God's for you.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't mean that there's not things you got to do to correct. I was depressed and in despair because I was doing the wrong things. And then when I changed my mind and changed my thinking and got into the Holy Bible again and found out what Jesus had done for me, I got out of it. And you can get out of it. You're not trapped in your condition. You're not trapped in it. All things are possible to him that believes.
Yes.
So get in the epistles and read them and feed on them and write them down and study them. And you'll never be the same. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.